Well, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we saw last time we were together that there was glory. There was glory in the presence of God. We're not looking at the things that are seen, the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are temporary. Things that are unseen are eternal. And so, coming from that conclusion, we have this statement. Because when it says the things that are seen are temporary, believe it, it's temporary. That's temporary. Everything you own is temporary. The phones we have and play with, they're temporary. Everything is temporary. Your life here is temporary. And what's interesting, we'll see a picture that's given here that reminds me of a story. One time, Marie and I were going to Prince Edward Island. And when I was younger, I slept on the side of the road. I slept in places that I won't sleep in today. I slept anywhere, and I was as tough as nails. But, you know, you get a little older, you're not quite so tough. So we were going over, and Marie said, we should have a tent. We were going to go over and stay for, I forget, it was 2 or 3 days. And I said, we should get a nice cabin. So by the time we got across on the island, the tent won. So we didn't have a tent with us, and we didn't have a tent at home. So I says, okay, we'll go buy a tent. So we went to Walmart, and we bought this tent. And it was a nice size tent, and we had Grace with us. So we had big enough tent for the three of us to be able to sleep in. And we went up to this campground, and we set the tent up. And we just got the tent set up in the evening and settled. We just got settled in, and all of a sudden, thunder and lightning. And did it rain? And did it pour? And that tent, there was a lesson we didn't know about. You don't just buy a tent, take it home and set it up. You're supposed to, this is what they told me at Walmart when I brought the tent back the next day, and we went to a cabin after that. There was 2 inches of water in the bottom of the tent, and along with it just came through every seam in the tent. So anyway, we made it. What's that? It does sound familiar. We made it through the night, albeit soaking wet. And I went back to Walmart the next day, and I said, this tent is no good. I said, it leaks like a sieve. Well, did you get the sealant that you're supposed to put on every seam on the tent? I said, no. Well, they said that you have to buy the sealant and you rub it on all the seams and that makes it waterproof. I said, if you can't sell me a tent that's not waterproof when I get it from you, you can have it back. So I just saying that. Now, maybe the guy didn't know what he was talking about, but I've never had a tent before where you had to put waterproof the seams. So I said, here, you can have the thing back. And I brought it back to him, and I tell you, it wasn't dry. It wasn't dry on the outside. It wasn't dry on the inside. But he took it back, and I got my money back. But anyway, the tent was not the best thing at that night, no matter if you had a tent that had no seams on, because the water came from the bottom, and it came from the top. It came from everywhere. But here, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know that if our earthly house, this tent. Now, what's he talking about? The earthly house and this tent. I wonder what he's talking about. Anybody know?
Body.
Your body. That's right. Yeah. He pictures that your body is like a tent. You know that tents are temporary, don't you?
Yeah.
You know that they're just temporary dwelling places. Mm-hmm. They're not the permanent place. Now, some nomadic people, they live in tents. But even then, those tents are often taken down, put back up. And, of course, they have to be replaced pretty often because tents get ratty and they get old. Well, guess what happens to us? We get the same.
Yeah.
It happens to us. We are living in temporary tents. It's a really good picture of what we have here in this world. We can take good care of these tents. We can do the best we can with them, but they will get old and they'll leak. Literally. Sometime they will. And so we need to have a hope beyond the tent that we live in here. It will become, they'll get sore, they'll fall apart. And we can do all that we want. We can stand in front of the mirror for hours and make it better. And you can be a movie star and get Botox and whatever else they put on them and stretch their faces and pull on this and pull on that. But eventually, everything will sag and everything will go because it's a tent. And it says, we know that if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed. It will be destroyed. It will be gone. So don't let your focus be on the earthly, on the temporary, on the things that are only for the moment and not for eternity. Don't let that be the case because you put your eggs in the wrong basket because it's only going to be for a short time. It says, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. That's where we're looking. That's where the Christian focus is. The Christian focus is not on the temporary. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take care of it. That doesn't mean we don't do the best we can with it. You can't take this one back to Walmart, right? You got what you got, and you have it, what's that?
No exchanges,
that's right. And it doesn't mean that we should be careless with it at all. It is a gift from God, and it is your gift. God has given you that particular tent, that body, and you should take care of it. It's the temple of God. God lives within this tent with you. He's chosen to come alongside with you in the tent. And in spite of all of that, we should be very careful to take care of it, but understand that it's temporary. Understand that this isn't the end of it all. That God has a better building for you. There's a better, and he uses the two pictures here. One is a tent, which is temporary, and the other picture that he uses is a building, which is permanent. So he says, God has a building for you. And it says, for in this we groan. We are earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. The new body that God will give to you will be far better than this one. It won't wear out. It won't wear out. What's that? It won't sin. It won't be bent to go in the wrong direction. That's right. You won't need hip replacements and arm replacements and shoulder replacements and elbow replacements.
And gallbladders removed.
That's right. Yeah. You won't need any of those six. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sighing. There'll be no pain. What a wonderful place it will be. And it actually says, in this we groan. And there are times when we groan in this tent, isn't there?
Yes.
There are times when we groan because it is falling apart. Or it is sick. Or circumstances are happening. So that we are groaning. But we are not groaning just to get rid of this body. We're groaning because of what's coming. We desire to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. The Apostle Paul could say, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we can say the same. We're going to get to that. And it says here, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Don't worry. When we get to be in glory, we are not going to be, when the time comes at the resurrection of the body, we're not going to be floating around with spirit, like bodiless spirits with no substance, or you're not going to be like that. Yeah. You are going to be a person who is going to have a body. Jesus rose from the dead with a body, yeah. A physical body. And yet, even though it was physical, it was supernatural. He could walk through walls. He could eat food. He ate food with them. And yet he had a resurrection body, and he took that resurrection body into heaven itself. So we have a picture of what the glorified body will be like. It will be glorified in the sense that it will be perfect in its nature, and yet at the same time it will have properties that it doesn't have now. And the Bible promises that's coming for those who are God's people. That is the promise of God. We will not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened. And it says this not because we want to be unclothed, not because we want to lose our bodies, but because we want to be further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up in life, because we want what God has for us, which is going to be so much better. In the original creation, Adam and Eve had perfect bodies. They had that opportunity, but they turned away from the Lord, and as a result of that, death came. Sickness came, sorrow came, suffering came into the world. We've experienced it, we all have, but the day will come when all of that will be gone, that we'll be able to say with confidence and with joy that our mortality is swallowed up by life. It really is. So death doesn't have that sting. The grave doesn't have that victory. This passage reminds us of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that resurrection chapter that we studied not that long ago. And we have that same promise given here saying, look, focus on the eternal. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming for every one of us. When? We have no idea. It could come for you tomorrow that you'll be leaving this world. And so we ought to be a people who are focused on the heavenly rather than the earthly. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And so he assures us this, that the Spirit of the living God has been given to us, and it's God's guarantee that he is going to give us, he's going to clothe us with an eternal body. It's a guarantee, and I love to have a guarantee. Guarantees are good to have. You know, when that car was on fire on the side of the mountain, I said to the guy right away, I said, is it insured? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Because what does insurance give you?
Guarantee.
At least we hope, right? A guarantee that they're going to cover the cost of a car. It's a 2017 car. You want to make sure you got insurance on it, full coverage, right? Because if you only had, you know, PLPD, they don't cover fire, right? So is it guaranteed? Yes, it is guaranteed. Well, I've got a guarantee far better than the insurance company. Can I ask you, are you guaranteed?
Yes.
Do you carry the guarantee with you? A guarantee that's the Spirit of the living God that has come in you because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. If people who do not put their faith in Christ, they don't have this guarantee. They are walking on very dangerous ground. And at any time, they can be facing the reality of being without Christ, without hope, and without every promise that we read of in the New Testament. Every promise gone, not yours. It will not be belong to the person who does not have Christ. Having Christ gives us this guarantee because the Spirit of the living God comes to live within us. And so we have a hope. Oh, what a hope we have in Jesus Christ. We have a hope as we face the reality of death. I remember an insurance salesman coming to try and sell me life insurance at one point, which I think I already had some. But anyway, he came and he said, you have to have this insurance. This insurance is so important. And he went through a spiel and he wouldn't stop for a second to give me a chance to breathe. But by the time he got through with all this, I said, here's the thing. I said, I appreciate you coming and offering me life insurance. And I know that, of course, if I want it, I have to pay for it. But I want to ask you this question. Do you have afterlife insurance? He looked at me. What? I said, do you have afterlife insurance? Well, I never heard of that kind of insurance, he said. I said, well, I'm going to offer you afterlife insurance.
And it's free.
And it's free. You don't have to pay for this insurance. Well, I'd like to hear about it, he said. So I told him. I told him that there was afterlife insurance that carried a guarantee that was more powerful and more sure and more certain than any insurance company could ever underwrite. I told him that that guarantee is a guarantee that God himself has given, that whoever puts their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, whoever is willing to repent and turn to Christ, that if they trust in him, he'll become their shepherd, and he guarantees them that he'll get them home. He'll get them all the way there. And that is exactly what he offers to us. Well, I wish I could say that this guy would have said, I'll take that life insurance. So for him, sadly, I didn't get life insurance from him. But for me, even more sadly, he didn't take the life insurance that I was offering. I pray someday that he will. But we have this guarantee so that we can say, as it says in the next verse, so we are always, I love these words, always what?
Confident.
We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, this tent, we are absent from the Lord. We are not yet. We're not home yet. Whatever happens, we are not home yet. It's coming. We're not home yet. Right on. We experience some of these things. We experience the flavor of home. We experience the presence of God. We experience the joy of the Lord. God gives us much because He has given us the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. He has put His Holy Spirit within this earthly tent so that we have the presence of God with us, but we still have the old tent. We still have the sin of the world around us. We have the presence of sin that we deal with. We have the temptation to sin and the failure of our sin to cope with in this world. We have all the pain, the suffering, and the sorrow that we experience and that others experience around us. So we're not home yet, but we do have the presence of the Spirit of God living within us. We are not abandoned, and God is with us in it. And if you're a Christian and you've experienced the presence of God and you've experienced His peace in the midst of trial and trouble and sorrow, and you've experienced the love of God upon your soul, then you have a taste of heaven already. And it makes you long for more. It makes you realize how precious He is, that a moment in the presence of God is worth 1,000 anywhere else. Isn't that what the psalmist said? A day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather dwell, be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so there's a confidence that we have. We have a confidence that we're not home yet, but we're going to be there. We have a confidence that God has given us His promises so that we know this, that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord because we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, the atheist may say to you, well, or the person who doesn't believe in anything, saying, you're believing in something that you don't see. And I say, yes, I am. I definitely am. I believe in what I don't see because I believe I have eyes and I do see. But those eyes are eyes of faith. I see the Lord. I see Him as my Savior. I see that He died for my sins. I see Him risen from the dead. I see Him seated at the right hand of the Father. I see Him, and I believe that more solidly than I believe things that I see here. We got tricksters here. We got magicians that can make buildings disappear right in front of your eyes, right? So do you trust? Can you always trust your eyes? No, you can't. You can think a lot of things. A guy out in the desert, he sees a beautiful pool and he goes running towards it and he gets a mouthful of sand because he doesn't see things necessarily always the same way. But we have eyes that see beyond those things.
But we also have been touched by grace to have felt God in our
hearts. Oh, absolutely.
Like the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Yes.
So that gives us confidence.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
God brings those reassurances to us time and time again. And often they are in the dark places, often in the deep trials. He visits us. He touches us. He draws us. Sometimes when someone's preaching, suddenly your heart is lifted and you see God in a fresh way and you feel the presence of God and you're challenged, but you hear God speaking into your soul. You're drawn into the presence of the Lord. These are all parts and parcels of this wonderful guarantee of the Spirit of God within us, because God comes to live within us. It's not empty promises. He has left us in the book of Ephesians. It says He's given us the down payment until He comes and gets the purchased possession. That's what it actually describes it in Ephesians chapter 1. Like you go to the store and you want to buy something, but you don't have enough money to buy it, so you leave a down payment, and that down payment guarantees they're not going to go and sell it to somebody else, so that you can come and purchase the rest of it. Well, the Bible says the Spirit of God is our down payment given to us, guaranteeing He's going to come and pick us up. He's going to come and pick up the merchandise, which is us. We walk by faith and not by sight. We believe. And by believing, we actually see. And in the end, we see more by faith than someone who looks at the earthly world. Fanny Crosby was blind. She wrote, I think, over 1,000 hymns.
10,000.
10,000 hymns. Can you imagine 10,000 hymns? And some of them are beautiful. She sings about, I shall see Him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. She says, the first face that I'll ever see is the face of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And she's already seen him, because that was a long time ago. Praise the Lord that there's such a confidence that you can have that a blind person can see more than someone who can physically see, because they see by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident. Yes, we are pleased rather, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We are confident that we are going to see Jesus. We are going to see him face to face, and we are pleased about it. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Think about that. And especially when the time comes, and the time will come for you when you are facing leaving this world. Ah, isn't it nice to know, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. And so the result of that, knowing that we will see him face to face, knowing that we belong to the Lord, knowing that there's glory to come, the tastes of glory that we have already received, the wonder of being in the presence of God now is so wonderful that, and yet it's just the down payment of what's coming. Oh Lord, there's coming a day when there'll be no heartache, no tears. There's coming a day when we'll all be together, where we'll see one another as we really are, where we'll love one another in a deeper way than we ever have, where we'll see Jesus and we'll the glory of it all. Oh, I can only imagine what it will be like to be in the presence of God. I can only imagine. But praise God, that doesn't take away from the wonder and the glory and the beauty of God. Because he says, we want to make it our aim, whether we're present or whether we're absent, we want to be well-pleasing to him. We want our life to count for him. We want our focus to be in this direction, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That even as believers, God is going to examine what we did with our lives as Christians. And he doesn't say that to just to make you feel bad. He says it to say to us, make it count. Make it count. Because when you stand in the presence of God, it's not like this, okay? It's not like, oh, you really did good that day. Here's a sticker. Right? And, oh, you get 2 stickers for that one, 3 for that one, and 10 for that one. It's not like that at all. The Bible makes it clear that what you do that didn't honor God is just burnt up. It doesn't make it. Whatever you did in a place where you're trusting God, and that includes changing diapers, washing dishes, going to work, going fishing, whatever it is you're doing, all the things of life, everything that you're doing, as you do these things in the Spirit, that is in dependence upon God, walking in the Spirit in whatever you're doing. The Bible says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so whatever I'm doing in life, as I do it in dependence upon the Lord, not sinning, but also trusting God as I walk, that this is like gold and silver and precious stones in the presence of God. And the reward of it all is going to be able, is to see that Jesus Christ was well pleased. That's all. That's it.
That's all we want.
That's all we want. We won't want to, you know, oh gosh, good, I'm going to get a chocolate bar, or I'm going to get a new coat or a new robe. Those things won't matter. What will matter is to see in his eyes and to be able to see that these things counted for eternity. They counted for eternity in that God was pleased. They count in eternity in that your character was being developed. They count in eternity in that others are affected by that. Others are drawn by that. We never know. It's like yesterday we had a celebration of life for my mother in Marguerite. And people came, and one fellow came, and he said, "I had to come He used to run a garage in Marguerite. He said, I had to come. He said, because you always treated me well when you came into my garage. You always treated me well. And so what do I think about that? Well, of course I treated him well. I sought to treat him the same as I would as a Christian, that I would treat him with love and respect and kindness, regardless of whatever circumstances were going on. And so he comes to this because of that. And of course, I shared the gospel in that meeting. And what I'm saying is that those little things are not unimportant. And often in communities where, you know, this isn't a big city, how I live as a Christian is noticed. Can't help but be noticed. It's going to be noticed. And really, if I blow it in a small community, how do you win back from that one? It's pretty difficult. But if I live honorably, by the grace of God, day by day, then it's going to affect people. It's going to draw people. And it may take a long time. It may take years. Because that guy hasn't had a graduate degree for years. That fruit will come from the actual living for Jesus Christ each day. Each day. And so we want to live pleasing to Him. Knowing, therefore, the judgments of God, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Remember, Paul is still responding to those who are saying to him that, you know, you're the charlatan, Paul. We've got some better preachers that have come along, and they've given us, you know, better ideas than what you're coming up with. And Paul is actually telling them, no, there isn't any better than this. It's not about me. It's about the message that I'm bringing. And it's an honorable message. It's a true message. And he warns that people need to be persuaded for this gospel, because there is a judgment day coming. There will be a judgment when people stand before the Lord and will be judged. And if they have not Christ, they will be lost for eternity. In Revelation chapter 20, some people try to separate and say there's a judgment seat of Christ is separate from this one or that one. But my Bible tells me that all the dead, small and great, will stand before the Lord. My Bible tells me that there will be a general resurrection, because Jesus said they're all going to stand before me, the sheep and the goats, and I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. So that there will be an accountability, yes, for us as believers, as we find in 1 Corinthians 3, but it's not an accountability of whether we're going to heaven or hell. That's settled because Christ went to hell for us. He took hell on the cross. But there will be, for those who have not trusted God, there is going to be a terror. It's going to be a sad and solemn day. And he says, people need to be ready. We persuade men. We're going to get into this persuading another section, the second half of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's just too much to look at. But for tonight, I want you to remember you're living in a tent. I want you to remember that it's temporary. I want you to think about the coming body that's going to be given to you, and that all the promises of God are true. Live in the light of eternity, friends. Keep putting eternity first. We can make decisions, and we can make them every day, and forget about heaven and eternity and the things that really matter. Put the things of God first in your life. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all the other things will be added to you. If you don't, you'll miss out. You'll have more if you actually put Christ first than if you go the other way. Let that be your focus, friends. And there's a joy, there's a certainty, there's a life to live with our eyes fixed upon Jesus. The Bible says we're running a race, and to have our eyes fixed upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the truth of it. And Lord, stir our hearts, Lord, to live for Jesus every day. Remind us of what's most important in life. And Lord, may we not miss the blessing now, and the joy that comes afterwards, because we walked with God. Thank you, Father, for your presence with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.